Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Tuesday, July 23rd, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. The Sitka Assembly will meet a little early tonight to review applications for municipal administrator. Members will gather at 5 p.m. at Harrigan Centennial Hall to decide who will be considered further for the city's top job. As KCAW's Ed Ronco reports, the list of applicants is long and diverse.
There are 53 applicants for the job, including Steve Bradshaw, Sitka's current superintendent of schools. Also on the list, former municipal administrators from Petersburg and Thorne Bay, Ketchikan's deputy borough manager, and former Sitka Assembly member Rob Allen and his wife, Robin Sherman. They have applied for the job as a team. Applications came in from across Alaska, but also from Maine, Colorado, Tennessee, Michigan, Florida, New York, South Dakota, Kansas, South Carolina, Vermont, California, Utah, Georgia, Minnesota, Montana, and Pennsylvania. The experience varies, too. Some people have been working in city government for decades. Others have military backgrounds or experience in finance. And some have no experience in government or management whatsoever. Min McConnell is Sitka's mayor, and she says there are a lot of factors that she and the rest of the assembly will consider in coming up with its shortlist.
So some of it is facts, looking at the facts. You know, do they have an MBA or MPA, and do they have they ever been an administrator, and if so, what size community? But then there's also this gut thing that happens.
McConnell says for her, it's important to know that the person hired can hit the ground running.
We have a lot going on. It's a big job for someone. And I need to feel comfortable that whoever takes that on is up to that task.
Assembly members are expected to take public comment on the list. After the assembly narrows the field, they'll conduct phone interviews in early August. McConnell says they hope to offer the job to someone by September 1st, and have them report to work by early October. The municipal administrator's job has been vacant since Jim Dinley resigned in late April. City Finance Director Jay Sweeney has served as interim administrator since Dinley's departure. Sweeney is not one of the applicants. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
The first candidate for Sitka's local elections in October has filed to get on the ballot. Aaron Swanson will run for assembly this year. He earned more than 800 votes in 2012, but lost to Michelle Putz. Swanson could be sitting in Putz's chair if he's elected. Her term expires this year, as well as Assemblymember Tor Christensen's. Both said they won't run for re-election because of family and time commitments. Christensen, however, did not rule out a future run. Putz was elected last year to fill the remainder of Terry Blake's term on the Assembly. That's why she's up for re-election after 1 year instead of the usual three. Christensen was elected to his current seat in 2010, but he was on the Assembly before, from 1998 until 2004. Lon Garrison is the only school board member up for re-election this year. On Monday, he said that he plans to run again, but hasn't turned in his paperwork yet. The deadline to file for candidacy is August 2nd at 5 p.m. Those interested should pick up packets at the municipal clerk's office on the third floor of City Hall. Sitka's City Hall evacuated briefly Monday morning after a backup battery started smoking in a third-floor closet. Assistant Fire Chief Al Stevens says battery acid was leaking out and causing the smoke. Initially, firefighters set up a fan in the main stairwell to vent the building. But when they tried to move the battery outside, it began smoking some more, and the workers were evacuated. There were no injuries during the incident, which lasted about an hour. Two new records were set this weekend in Sitka's Alpine Adventure Run. Emily Delabriere won for the women and set a record with a time of 1 hour, 21 minutes, and 15 seconds. Second place for women went to Tasha Folsom at 1 hour, 23 minutes, and 57 seconds. Sam Scotchmer was the first person across the finish line, winning the men's field at 1 hour, 4 minutes, and 3 seconds. He broke his previous record for 1 hour, 6 minutes, and 29 seconds, set in 2011. Jonathan Christ Tompkins took second in the men's division at 1 hour, 8 minutes, and 4 seconds. Some 75 people ran in the race, but not all finished. Penny Brown, who is the race director for Sitka's first Cross Trail Marathon to be held in August, was injured during the race and taken off the course by Sitka Mountain Rescue. Her injury comes a few weeks after the Alpine Adventure Race co-director, Christine Horan, fell on a test run of the course and broke her hip. Two other runners also did not finish because of injuries. Competitors in the Alpine Adventure Run start near sea level and travel up more than 2,100 feet of Gavin Hill before following a rocky ridge around to the top of Harbor Mountain. Sitka performed well at the 2013 District 2 Little League Tournament in Wrangell. Tournament wrapped up Sunday. KSTK's Shady Grove Oliver has the story.
After a grueling week of games, Sitka has come out on top. Sitka swept Sunday's championship game against Juneau 5-1. Juneau coach Bob Cox says his team felt good going into the game, but Sitka came out strong from the start.
Oh, we felt pretty good. We had a great game against Ketchikan in the semifinals, and we went into the game with a lot of energy. And the kids came up short. We lost 5-1. Sitka had a really good game plan they put together, and they played real well.
In the semifinals, Juneau beat Ketchikan 7-5. Sitka took Petersburg 13-3. Sitka and Juneau had already come head-to-head on the ball field once before in this tournament, with Juneau triumphant. Sitka coach Rich Riggs says this first defeat made his team stronger.
You know, one of the neat things in the adversity of that initial loss to Juneau, I think it really brought the team closer. They relied on each other more, and we really executed defensively in that game against Juneau.
Riggs says his team knew Juneau would be a tough opponent in the finals. He says Sitka is happy with the outcome, but the most important thing for them is how they work together as a team.
We are truly a team of 13. Everybody has a role on this team. I think that this championship game really showed that. What I asked of the boys before they took the field in that game was to make sure that at the end of the game, they were satisfied that they had put their very best effort on the field, each of them individually and for the best interest of the team. And regardless of the outcome, they could be satisfied with it. And I think that as it turned out, all 13 guys on the team made a positive contribution to the final outcome. And it was truly a team effort, not just in this game, but throughout the course of the tournament.
Sitka now represents District 2 in the state championship tournament, which begins this week in Wrangell. Anchorage is the all-star team for District 1. These two teams will be playing a maximum of 5 games against each other. They're playing for the best 3 out of 5. Reporting in Wrangell, I'm Shady Grove Oliver.
A potentially dangerous bear has prompted the temporary closure of Ketchikan's Ward Lake Trail and Signal Creek campgrounds. Kathy Tai, Recreation, Wilderness, and Land Supervisor with the Ketchikan Misty Fjords Ranger District, says the situation developed quickly over the weekend.
There's been a bear, or possibly two, based on descriptions, that have been raiding a lot of campsites this spring and approaching people.
Ty says there have been no injuries so far, but some property, such as coolers, have been damaged. These situations tend to escalate, so the Forest Service, working with the State Department of Fish and Game, decided to close part of the popular Ward Lake until the problem bear can be captured. The closed sections include the campground and the trail on the backside of the lake. A section of trail that's right next to the road remains open, along with other nearby trails. But even though they are open, Ty says hikers should still use caution, particularly on the trails around Ward Lake.
Pretty much everywhere we go is bear habitat. And like I said, we've had a bear that was kind of getting into food that's been left out on the tables and things there at the campground. And so it's becoming very habituated to people and was not afraid of people, and that was causing a lot of problems.
Ty says the bear was walking within about 10 feet of humans. She says relocating problem bears has been shown to not work, so once it's captured, it will be killed.
When you try to move them, they've been known to travel hundreds of miles to get back to what they're used to. So unfortunately, it means a bear's going to get destroyed.
To reduce the potential for future bear encounters, Ty recommends that campers never leave food unattended, even for a short time. She says the Signal Creek campground will have food lockers available for next season, but in the meantime, camp food should be locked away in a closed vehicle or a secured hard-side container. Ty anticipates that the closed section of Ward Lake will reopen by Wednesday. Most of us have heard about the bear cams streaming live from Katmai National Park, but if bears aren't your thing, you might want to point your browser to the Salmon Cam. The U.S. Forest Service is live streaming an underwater camera from Steep Creek, located at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center in Juneau. The camera catches views of sockeye salmon and other fish in the creek, like trout or Dolly Varden. And it's reaching the prime time of the season for salmon late July. The cam is live streamed on YouTube. A spokeswoman for Governor Sean Parnell says he continues to support a so-called Stand Your Ground law in Alaska. Sharon Lehow says Parnell's position hasn't changed since last month when he signed legislation allowing for the use of deadly force in self-defense in any place a person can have a legal right to be. At that time, Parnell says Alaskans' way of life depends on their ability to carry firearms, to defend themselves, to provide for their families, and live freely. The law takes effect in September. A Florida jury earlier this month acquitted a neighborhood watch volunteer of second-degree murder and manslaughter charges in the 2012 shooting of an unarmed teenager. George Zimmerman had told police he shot Trayvon Martin after the teen attacked him. Martin supporters argued Zimmerman wrongly followed him. Workers whose jobs were affected by spring flooding in Alaska may be eligible for disaster unemployment. In a release, the State Labor Department says the deadline to apply is Monday. Labor Commissioner Diane Blumer says Alaskans living or working within communities declared disaster areas who were unable to work as a direct result of the flooding in May and June may be eligible for assistance. Affected communities include Galena, Eagle, Tok, Circle, and Fort Yukon. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or you'd like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. It's currently 58 degrees downtown Sitka under overcast skies, and today rain is likely with highs around 63. Tonight, rain likely with lows around 54. You're listening to KCAW Sitka.